Welcome to The West Steps. The West Steps is a podcast from the Colorado Children's Campaign that explores issues that impact Colorado kids and families. I'm your host, Beza Tedes.
Welcome to another episode of The West Steps. I have two exciting guests this morning, and we're going to talk about something I think is only sexy on The West Steps. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Before we jump into it, I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. And Bill, would you like to start?
Thanks, Beza. So excited to be back. Bill Jaeger, I'm the Vice President of Early Childhood and Policy Initiatives here at the Colorado Children's Campaign, where I get to work with Beza and a whole host of important and amazing people to try to advance child well-being here in Colorado.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Alicia Stewart. I live in El Paso County, and I am currently a small business owner. And a Colorado coach and trainer. And I also work at the University of Colorado in Colorado Springs as a university supervisor for the Inclusive Early Educator Program for that. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you so much for both of you for being here. So we're going to talk a little bit about the child tax credit, the educator tax credit. There are so many tax credits. I keep mixing them up. The educator tax credit. But I think first, before we talk about, why and who benefits and why are tax credits important, maybe we can talk about what it is first, and either of you can take it. But if you can tell us, what is the educator tax credit?
Yeah, so this is a proposal pending before the Colorado legislature. It's House Bill 1010 this legislative session. And it's a bipartisan proposal that emerged from an interim committee that was really looking at some of the challenges facing the early childhood sector. And ultimately, it comes down to how well are we supporting our educators in the classroom being the greatest they can be on behalf of our children, and trying to find efficient, administratively efficient ways to address one of the big challenges facing the sector, which is compensation, recruitment, and retention. And ultimately, it's a proposed tax credit, a refundable tax credit that all early childhood educators would be able to access, that would put more dollars into the pockets of our teachers once a year. And so there are some features about it designed to address some of the challenges we know exist, including that piece on refundability, which means that it is something that you can claim regardless of your tax liability, tied to credential level to try to encourage and reward people for taking the time to improve their credential, and ultimately working towards a model where, some amendments coming, but we're hopeful putting at least $1,500 directly back in the pocket of the average classroom teacher at the end of the year. And so there's many reasons and some good evidence from other states on what that can mean. It's not our full solution to the compensation challenges in the sector, but it's a really important step to encourage people to improve their credential and reward them for the important work they're doing.
Thanks, Bill. So I think, the listeners of the West Steps are not unfamiliar with the issues of childcare and early childhood challenges in Colorado. But I wonder, maybe we could talk a little bit about what it's looking like right now in this kind of chapter three of the pandemic that keeps going on. What are still the current challenges in our state, and what are educators facing if we are trying to be creative in solving that issue?
Well, I think some of the challenges we've seen for a very long time, and that is retention, it is quality, and it's access for educators to get more training, to improve their credentials. But what I've seen is there are a lot. Colorado has lost excellent childcare providers and teachers due just to the low pay you know, and then the stress that's put on them. Right now, our teachers are spread very, very thin. We beat the drum on self-care, but there's sometimes that they can't even do that because they're spread so thin. And so that includes taking a second job or a third job. And so we can mitigate that by at least providing a good foundational income for them. And I think that, again, we're taking a step in the right direction. And I agree with everything that Bill said. The credit is important. It's a small step, but it's important. And hopefully it can help us retain some of these excellent educators, people that want to be in the field, people that want to be with children. It's important.
Yeah, and just to build sort of like that picture of what is the field looking like right now, mm-hmm. I mean, we are facing educator shortages. You know, when we talk to providers, ability to attract and retain people is really hard right now in any sector, but you know, this is just such vitally important work, but it is stressful work, supporting the development of young children. And so, you know, people come to this work from a heart space and a head space, and, you know, the compensation doesn't match up. And we know that, you know, in Colorado, our anticipated demand over the next 10 years is a 25% growth in the number of early childhood educators that we're going to need. I mean, that's faster than K-12, and it's a equity issue too.
Right.
You know, overwhelmingly, our early childhood educators are women, and disproportionately women of color. 40% of our early childhood educators in Colorado identify as women of color, and that's the most racially diverse component of our education continuum. So early childhood, you know, we talk a lot about teacher diversity in K-12 and higher ed, and we have work to do, but we are building from a much better place in early childhood. But we don't follow that up with the types of investments that reward and compensate people for doing this most critical work. So if we know there's growth coming, we know there's inequities built into the system, and this would make our tax code more fair, support our children in their development, and do it by making a sort of evidence-based approach to putting dollars in people's pockets.
Yeah. You both highlighted a couple of important pillars of this conversation. There is the need, the demand for educators, and then there is the retention piece, and then the fact that there is an increased growth, expected growth that's coming. I know the pandemic has been very stressful for everybody. I think we all are about at the end of it for all of us in terms of the patients that we have for it, but I think it's been one of the most stressful from childcare providers. The listeners of the podcast remember this past fall, we did a mini series where we talked to providers and they talked about some of the challenges. And I wonder if you guys can give us a little bit of highlights on how the pandemic specifically has impacted childcare providers and the childcare educator space, because I think we've heard a lot from parents about how hard it has been to find childcare, but the other side of the equation is providers and educators.
Well, yeah, the impact to early educators is significant. One, because like I said, they're spread really thin, right? And I train educators. And so I've trained over 200 early educators last year. And what I heard the most is that they just don't have the support. They just don't have the extra bodies. And they don't want to just put warm bodies into the classroom. And so these people are working tirelessly, 10 to 16 hour days, again, for very low compensation. And then they have to deal with the pandemic, which means CDC says this on one day, the CDC says it's the next day. The leadership, school board, superintendents say this one day, then say this the next day. And so it's really tough for them to plan, for them to keep their centers full and retain and maintain those best practices that we care so much about in Colorado. And so It's hard to maintain quality, and we really, really don't want that. And so, again, this child care credit is going to help. It will help. It's not going to fix the system. We have a lot of work to do, and we're still doing it. But it will help early educators to have some support, to feel supported. That's another thing. They just don't feel supported. So they'll feel supported and be able to live another day.
I think that the tax credit tries to step into that moment and say, look, parents can't afford to pay more. Providers are working on a shoestring and barely holding it together, to all the points Alicia's making. You know, can we, you know, sort of use the public dollar to step in and not apply additional pressure either on parents or on the providers themselves and still get to the heart of the issue? I think, and I completely agree, we have so much fundamental reform to do in this sector. For far too long, we've sort of said to families, until your kid walks through the schoolhouse door come kindergarten, first grade, you're on your own, figure it out. And that has resulted in a system that puts the pressure and forces the finances to work by keeping wages low. And that's just because we fail to invest the public dollars. And, you know, even before the pandemic, you know, we know that our early childhood educators earned half of the average kindergarten teacher's salary. And we talk a lot about our K-12 teachers not getting paid for the important work they do. And sometimes, you know, I'm a both and person who says, yes, and come talk to an early childhood educator about the important work they're doing and right, what they're being paid for it. And as a result of that, you know, again, before the pandemic, this sector faced tremendously high turnover, with the average teacher changing jobs within 3 years. And so that's just not, you know, when we think about children's development and continuity of care, stability in the sector, all that investment we make in helping people, you know, the work that Alicia does, coaching people, helping them be the best they can be, only to see, you know, that important investment walk out the door every 3 years, I think is just a lost opportunity. So we've got to start tackling these issues, and they do begin with dollars.
Absolutely. And in early childcare and human development in the early years are the most important years for development. And so, with these struggles that we're having right now, our children are suffering. Therefore, our society is suffering, because we are seeing children come into kindergarten with these big holes. Like Bill was saying, we very much focus on K through 12, but early education hasn't really been the center. However, it's very important. It's foundational for development, for these children to go into high quality centers. And the investment will pay off. It'll pay off, because we'll have children going into the K-12 system, knowing what they need to know, solid emotionally and socially. And it just creates a better environment for all of us.
You both bring up, I think, not just only the struggle, but the potential here, that this lends itself to, you know, the lack of public investments for so many years means that the work is massive, but also I think that just equally is what it gives back to society is also massive. And I think, it's a lot easier to fix problems before they happen than after they happen. And I think that is the promise of, you know, high quality early childhood. And I wonder, so then if you can talk a little bit about where this educator tax credit is in the process and what our listeners can watch out for.
Yeah, so we were really excited to see the bill introduced as one of the first 10 pieces of legislation of the legislative session. I think that's a strong signal from legislative leadership about trying to build this out and make it a priority. As I noted, it has bipartisan co-sponsorship in both chambers. So that's Representative Sirota and Representative Van Beber in the House, and then Senator Buckner and Senator Kirkmeyer in the Senate. And so it's starting in the House because it's a tax measure, and it has its first hearing on Groundhog Day. Wednesday, February 2nd. And we've tried in previous legislative sessions to push this through in some capacity. So not lost on me that this is a chance to live out Groundhog Day and do it again and do it right.
With a better outcome this time.
Yes. Yeah. It's the time when we get it right. And in fact, hopefully do it even better than we would have done if we tried a few years ago. So first hearing on that Wednesday, and then it'll make its way through the process. And I think, again, you know, to come back to the key pieces, really appreciative of the legislative leadership who, you know, I think are going to the co-sponsors offer some amendments in that first committee to expand the tax credit even further to more of our educators and increase the size. And some of that's based on kind of what we've seen in other states. In Virginia, for example, as part of their preschool development grant, they had a program that similarly put money in the pockets of their early childhood educators, $1,500. And they found that for childcare centers, for educators working at childcare centers, it cut their turnover rate in half. So, you know, it's a modest investment. It's not, to Alicia's point, our comprehensive solution, everything we want to do on compensation. But we're using an evidence-based approach here, and we're doing it in a moment when the state has the resources to make these investments.
That's very exciting. So as we wrap up, my last question is always trying to get people involved in these really important legislation. So how can people get involved? How can people keep keep themselves informed about this bill? But also, if they are, you know, an educator and would like to tell the elected officials about their experience and what this would mean for their, you know, their future in this career, how can people get involved?
Well, locally, I would suggest that people, one, attend your school board meetings, attend those meetings. Two, you can go to www.findmysenator and write a letter, call your senator, send them an email. They want to hear from us, early education workforce. They need to hear from us. All the family home providers, all the early educators, they need to hear our voice. They need to hear our stories. And then wonderful people like the Colorado Children's Campaign or SCAN. Those are some really good ways to get involved. And then maybe just talk to the people that take care of your children every day. Ask them about what they're going through. Ask them how they can help. Maybe it's just you buying paper towels for the center or bringing some Kleenex. But those are some ways that you can help.
I love all those suggestions, Alicia, because I do think so much of what really makes for change is community level conversations and engagement. And at a time when it's hard to do that still, all these different ways that people can plug in. In terms of this specific piece of legislation, I would encourage everyone to visit the Children's Campaign's website, where we have a sign up for our Kids Flash newsletter, where we every week, Beza and her team do an amazing job of summarizing all of the important pieces of legislation moving through the process. It's a way to get action alerts when there are things going on. As Alicia said, Save the Children Action Network has a Colorado chapter that is circulating a petition in support of this piece of legislation. So they would be a great resource. And I think ultimately being willing to send that email to your elected official or pick up the phone and make that phone call. And we're always happy at the Children's Campaign to facilitate everything higher up on that engagement ladder, including testimony, joining It's About Kids Network or partner organizations, and hopefully one day having more people who work in the field of early childhood sitting in those elected office seats who can really understand the importance of these investments.
Alicia and Bill, thank you so much for your time and for such a great conversation. I am sure this is not the last time we talk about this. The next time we talk about this is when the bill is signed. but in the meantime, I just want to say thank you for making the time, and hopefully we will talk very soon.
Thanks, Beza.
Good to talk with you, Alicia.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of The West Steps. The West Steps is a production of the Colorado Children's Campaign. If you want to support our work, please visit our website at coloradokids.org. And see you next week. Thank you. Thank you.